Scripture memory verse tonight, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. Anybody else? It's a little long. It's a little bit there to it.
Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18.
Good job. Anybody else?
Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18.
Good job. Anybody else? You guys are rocking it.
Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All the saints. Ephesians 6:18.
Good job. Anybody else?
Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18.
Good job. We nailed that one, didn't we? Well, and I have to, again, you know, you could do a series on prayer. I was talking about this earlier. I mean, everything is about prayer. Prayer is our dependency. We are looking at, of course, the armor of God, because there is a spiritual battle out there for our souls. And once our souls are saved by God, then there's a spiritual battle for our decisions, for our minds, for our lives, for our day-to-day walk. And so, really, we move from all the defensive weapons. Last week, we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is our first offensive weapon, which, of course, is truth. Once you know truth, you can go on the offense. You can use it for defense, one side of the sword for defense, the other side for offense, and you can pursue the enemy and fight for other people by faith. And so, again, we have the same thing going on here with prayer. Prayer is, to me, the number one thing in life. Prayer is number one. Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations. Prayer is where the power comes from. Prayer is where you spend time with the Lord. Prayer is where the relationship is built. Prayer is where our dependency comes from. He didn't say it shall be a house of the word. He didn't say it shall be a house of fellowship. He said it will be a house of prayer to all nations. And in fact, that's a quote from Isaiah 56:7, pretty interesting. He quotes that in the New Testament when he's cleansing the temple, and he says, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations, and you have made it a den of thieves. Instead of prayer, they were in there stealing. They were in there doing all kinds of other things, trying to merchandise people and make money. But it shall be a house of prayer. I believe it is number one on the list. When you sit down, you have to silence yourself, you have to be still, and you have to get before the Lord and present your heart. And I always encourage people that you should be praying, even if it takes 5 minutes to start and work up to it, but you should be shutting everything off, getting rid of your devices, being still and learning to be still. We're a people that do not want to be still. And prayer is so important in order for all the rest of the armor to have power. You need to have a relationship with that God where you can learn to trust him. You can learn to talk to him. You can learn to lay these things at his feet. In fact, we're going to talk about this, but in 1 Timothy 2, you can turn there if you like, 1 Timothy 2, 1. Of course, Paul is the one speaking here to the church at Ephesus, telling us where the power comes from. You know, because once you put on all your armor, what are you going to do? You have to have marching orders. So you go to prayer. What am I supposed to be doing? And so there's prayer going on. But in, I just wanted to, there's a few places we're going to go to. I mean, I could go to 100 places. That's why it's so hard. You need to do a series on prayer. We need to, I mean, prayer is everywhere. That's why I don't like to do topicals as much, because you just talk about prayer when it's in the text, and you talk about prayer when it's in the text, because it's in a lot of text. Look what he says in 2:1. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we can keep going, but I just wanted you to see that he's wanting first of all that people would be praying. First of all, because you have to start with a prayer life. A prayer life is so important, to have established a prayer life where you depend upon the Lord of glory. You depend upon God for everything. So praying is something that is necessary for a walk with God. I got my notes a little bit weird this week, so I've got to keep looking at this. So praying here means to pray to God, and it does mean to supplicate. That's why it's really hard when you get to supplication, because prayer itself means supplicating. Okay, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But it means to worship, and that's the one of the things that I like to talk about. Really, when you are really worshiping God, because obeying is true worship, when you obey what the word says. So when you sit down and you be still, you're literally giving your all to God, saying, I know this is where my help comes from. And in all of these things, I want to be praying. I want to be spending time. I want to be dumping my heart out before you. I want to be laying everything that I have before you. So he's saying prayer. This is where our first offensive weapon, I know the sword was there, but this is really where we get marching orders from, as we begin to pray. Because praying is not trying to convince God to do what we want to do. Praying is not that. Praying is us getting our hearts changed to what God is already doing. And so I believe the church, many people in the church, and I'm not being mean, I just think we have a misunderstanding about prayer. That prayer is, I want to line my heart up with God. Remember Jesus in the garden when he says to God, if there's any way, Father, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So he wants his heart to be fashioned and formed around the will of God. And so we don't want God to say, we don't want to say to God, come on, do what I want to do. We really want to go into prayer and get on our face before God saying, God, what are you doing? Why is this going on? What's up with this one? How do I pray like this? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, praying in the Spirit. But we want to be aligned with what God is already doing. Because then there's this perfect peace, this perfect rest, this perfect place of movement where you know you're building this relationship because you're completely dependent upon God. And you've been talking with Him. You've been pouring your heart out. You've been listening to Him. You've been reading His Word, and you've been in fellowship. All those things do need to go together. Very important that we understand that. And for quotes, those of Matthew 21 and Mark 11 is where he says, my house shall be a house of prayer. And think about it for a minute, because in the context of that, that's when he begins to cleanse the temple. And the only way our temple is going to be cleansed, we are the temple of God now, is when it begins in prayer. That we admit that we were thieves. We admit that we were a den of thieves. And that now we've come to new life. And how do we hear? We begin to articulate and hear His voice in prayer. We're listening. We're in the Word. We're reading. And then we're in fellowship and we're sharing. So those things work together as we change our mind. As we change our mind. And it begins in prayer, because prayer is our power. You know that Jesus is praying right now. Our example, Jesus is praying for us right now. Romans 8:34 tells us that. Hebrews 7:25 says that. He's praying for us at this very moment. He sat down. He finished everything that he was supposed to do. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he's praying for you and me. That's pretty amazing. And he's interceding for us. And he's sitting right there at the right hand. making intercession. And let me ask you, how is your prayer life today? Listen, I know life is so fast. Are you praying? How are you praying? When are you praying? I mean, I encourage you to get up early. I mean, get up early before everybody else gets up, because noise will get in your way. Get up early before the horns start honking. And get up early before the coffee pot, before whatever. Make sure that you're getting up early before. And it's not legalism. It's your privilege to get up and pray and talk to God and spend time with Him. And if you have to start with 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. And if you have to write it down on a piece of paper, what you want to pray about, to remain focused on what you're doing, write it down. Journal. You can even journal and write down when God answers prayers. Because then you've got that as a remembrance of saying, wow, we were praying this. We were talking about this. We have a prayer list for our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And just because sometimes it's easy to forget somebody that you know that's already asked for prayer. So we try to keep a little list, but you don't have to just pray what's on the list. Are you depending upon prayer? Are you living a life of prayer? Because really, my house should be a house of prayer. And if we're in God's house, then we want to be in prayer. We should be depending upon it. Prayer is our energy from God. I mean, literally, as you begin to build that relationship, you gain energy for the day. I know you can get it from the Word of God, but when you're praying, you're actually talking and getting up and going out on mission with the God of the universe, and you've just talked to Him, and you can actually feel the energy of the Spirit when you pray. I'm not trying to be funny or weird. I just know that energy comes from praying. It comes from God when you appropriate your faith properly and go out for Him. We come to God again, like I just said a minute ago, for our marching orders. Because we're standing by faith in the victory of Christ. But what are we doing while we stand in? Because we have work to do. We have people that we're supposed to be ministering to. And so, you know, much of the church at large, not to speak against God's true bride, but we're sedentary. We do nothing. We go, I'm a Christian. But what are we doing to be involved with the reconciliation of souls? And prayer is a great way. You can have a whole list of people that you're interceding. I pray all the time for people, just that they would repent, that they would change their mind, and that they would come to salvation, and then they would be sanctified. Because, you know, all of those things need to happen in a believer's life, that they would desire to know their gifts, their talents, their abilities. They would desire to be in the middle of God's will, that they would desire to be, you know, and you can't pray for every single person you pray for and pray those things, but you can pray for some people, and you can pray, and as we'll talk about in a minute about supplicating, you can petition God, or you can intercede. There are people use different words for these things, and they can mean different things. But we get our marching orders in prayer, and we get help in time of need in prayer. Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we're supposed to be doing, coming into the throne room. There's something about coming out of the Gentile court and going straight into the throne room and knowing that we're sitting right there with Christ. He's interceding. We're interceding. We're praying together in the throne room of God. And I mean, that's really the picture I want you to see. Not to get one in your head. I'm just saying, that's what's going on when you meet with God. He's sitting there on the throne. And because of Him, we can come all the way to the throne now and pray. And say, hey, here's this. I need to lay this here. Here's John. Here's Michael. I want to lay them there. And what's going on? How should I pray? And you begin to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a minute. To lead your prayers. But you can do that. And when can you do it? Always. I've never been to the throne room and Him not be there. Praying always. We're praying always. Listen, and that can sometimes be strange for people, but listen, the word always can be about, it can be after, it can be against, but give yourself wholly to a life of prayer. If my house should be a house of prayer, shouldn't that be something we do? I mean, sometimes people say, will you pray for me? I say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you walk away. Just touch him on the arm and go, okay, let's pray. And just pray right then. If somebody's bold enough to ask you for prayer, doesn't matter who's around and they're asking for it, I just pray for them. I just try to always pray for them, because you know what? Truth is, I'll probably walk away and forget. I might remember. I ask God to help me remember things like that, but it's much easier just to pray for them and just do a quick little prayer. It doesn't have to be complicated. God already knows anyway. God already knows everything. Think about that for a minute. A God that knows everything, already sees everything, yet he privileges us to be involved in petition his throne. Well, he already knows what's going to happen. But he wants to change our heart, where our heart would be his will to be done. He wants to change our heart so that I just pray that they would just stop. Well, maybe he wants them to keep going for a while to get them to the end of themselves. And if they stop right now, they might not be to the end of themselves. So we pray things that make it work for us, but not for him and what he's doing. And then we go, why didn't they stop? Well, because you're praying amiss. You're not praying according to what God wants to do. And so we have to keep in mind that he already knows, but he wants to allow us to be his servants, to be his doulosses, to be those that would be concerned about souls. That's what was read there in 1 Timothy 2:4. He desires all men to be saved. Okay? He wants all men. And that's what is the main thing for prayer, is for us to stand and then be involved in the ministry of reconciliation of souls, and all men would be reconciled to him. That's the main thing. Yet my prayer list sometimes has things on there that I'm going, I know God's concerned about that, but what about their salvation before they die? What about their sanctification before they find out that they're truly not even saved? They're unsaved believers. We were talking about this. That's a new terminology. Unsaved believer. You know how many people believe, just like the demons, they believe, but they're not saved. You know how many people say, I believe in Jesus, but they're unsaved. There's no repentance. There's no turning. There's no difference in their lives. And so sometimes it takes time for difference to show up and evidence to show up. But we're praying always. And I like to tell you, it's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a lifestyle of surrender and depending upon God for everything, which is very difficult because we love to pray at the cross and leave the luggage there, and then we turn right around and go pick it up. And we have to learn to leave it there, because it's really easy to just spin around in circles and pick it right back up and go, let me have that in case you didn't hear me. And we just spin right around and we grab a hold of it. And it's not something that, listen, it's always practicing righteousness. You learn truth, and then God's already completely positionally placed us in that place. But now we go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you die to self, and you keep dying to self, and you keep practicing that. It becomes a lifestyle of what you're doing. So many people think it's supposed to happen right overnight. That's supposed to be right now. No. God will let you go through it and suffer in it and become part of it and go, what is going on? And struggle with it so that when you get that deliverance and that freedom and that rest, it really means something. Because, it's positionally done. But think about it. Look at our society. Look at our society. Everybody that just thinks they have a right to have things, and then you hand it to them, and then they're ungrateful, and they throw it on the floor, and they go, "Where's the next one?" And they want the next one. They didn't earn it. They didn't fight for it. They didn't struggle for it. They've got nothing in it. They don't care nothing about it, and so they're ungrateful. But we want to be thankful. That's part of the prayer we're going to talk about too. But praying always as a lifestyle. And sometimes that can be difficult. Listen, look over at Matthew 6. We're going to go there. We're going to go to a few places. Praying always is not talking about vain repetition. Okay? Praying always is all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God, and that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'm not going to quote all of them, but I'm going to quote some of them so we can get them all in at the same time. Praying always. What does that mean? It's not talking about vain repetition. Let's just read here. I'm going to read this pretty quickly, too. I'm not going to stay here because I got here and I go, oh, my goodness, I need to do the whole chapter. And then I go, no, we can't do the whole chapter. I got some other places we're going to do the whole chapter. So praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Again, it's not praying constantly, but it is. It's praying always. I don't know if you guys have a habit of it, but I do it. I just go, lift them up, Lord. I just go, pray for them, Lord. And I just throw little tidbits in, little small tidbits. You don't have to go, all right, stop the truck. I got to pray. You know, and so you're praying, but it's also a lifestyle of praise to God. My life is a praise to God. Make your life a praise to God, and then every thought you're having, everything you're doing is really a prayer to God because you're practicing His presence all the time. And so here these boys were walking with Him, and we have the Sermon on the Mount, and here we are. And let's start with verse 5. Verse 5. Now notice, and when you pray, notice it's a life of prayer. My house should be a house of prayer. Not if you pray. He didn't say, if you pray, this is how you should do it, not do it. He said, when you pray, because you should always be praying. That's where the power comes from. That's where the strength comes from. And then we're going to have the Spirit leading us in a minute. And He knows already everything we need to know. You shall not be like the play actors, the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. Listen. A lot of people just want attention. That's the one of the hardest things to get away from. But you can watch it. You can watch it in your society. You can look at everybody. Whatever's going on in their life, when you go in, they're wanting attention. They want to know that they exist. How about if they want to know that from the God of the universe? You spend time with the God of the universe, and you know how you feel small. But then you build a relationship and you go, wow, I've got authority. You sent me out with power. You really do exist. And you begin to trust more because of prayer. I know it's the Word of God too. Yes, you're learning who that God is you're spending time with, who you're talking to. But when you begin to see things happen because of prayer, that's an amazing thing. Remember when Nehemiah was building the wall? And he was sent back, and he didn't tell anybody what was on his heart, what his God had put on his heart. And he was just praying. He was just praying. He went out at night so that nobody would see him, and he surveyed the wall. And he's looking at what he needs to do. God's already called him to do it, so he knows that God's going to supply to do it, but he knows there's an enemy trying to keep him from doing it. And the way the enemy keeps him from doing it is distracting him with other things, the Sanballats and the Tobias. If you go back and read the book of Nehemiah, there's Sanballat and Tobiah, and they kept trying to draw Nehemiah away by lying. They kept trying to draw him away by other things. Come and do this, and come and do that, and we want to help with that. And to draw you away from what God has called you to do, what your gifts, what your talents, what your abilities. People invite you to do things, and you have to stay focused on what is God asking you to do. And you talk to Him in prayer, and you learn from Him in prayer. It has to be a life of prayer. Don't do it like the hypocrites. Oh, we're standing up here praying. Who was that? There was a teacher that was getting ready to teach, and when he would teach, he was an evangelist. He would always ask somebody. He'd come in, and then he'd ask somebody from the church to pray before each service. And I think it was D.L. Moody, but it's a funny. It's funny as can be. He had to ask brother so and so to pray, and he's praying. And finally, he just said, oh my goodness. So he stepped up in the pulpit and said, turn in your Bibles to, and while Brother Jim gets it, caught up on his prayer life, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word of God. Because he wouldn't shut up. He just kept praying. So you have to know when to pray and how to pray, and not to just pray for a long time so that people see how eloquent you are or something. In fact, the simplest prayers, help, save now, you know, just simple prayers. Help me, Lord. I know many times I say, give me wisdom, Lord, and just keep moving. And He does. He's a great God. Where are we at? 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, he just said that up there about giving, too. Because you're not trying to draw attention to yourself. And then this is when he says, all prayer. This is one of the all prayers. And so I'm kind of covering a few of these together when we're talking about this. All prayer would be also there's secret prayer. There's private prayer. So we're going to get there in a minute to that. But I just want you to see that's what he's talking about. That verse was in my heart when Tom Kemp said, hey, we're having prayer on Wednesday night when I first got saved. And I go, Tom, you're supposed to go in your closet and pray in private. And he goes, Greg, the church was started in a prayer meeting. I go, oh, okay, let's go. You know, I wasn't even 3 months old in the Lord, but I just knew that verse about praying in secret and don't be like the hypocrites. So the hypocrites, it wasn't that they were praying on the corner. It was that they were doing it for attention. They were doing it to act like they were special, and really they were doing it just about themselves, and it wasn't really to involve God. See, we want to involve God, and then when we involve God, he changes us. We want to make sure that he's the one being glorified and that he's the one receiving all the honor for what happens. Verse 7 is why we actually came here, 6, 7, and then I decided I would stay here for a while longer and do a quick review of it. 6, 7 is why it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And it's just repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, and like it's a magic spell or something, you know, words that are going to make something happen. God hears. God hears our prayers. He hears everything when we come to him in the right way. And he even hears, you might be able to correct me, but I'll correct myself. I used to say he didn't hear the prayers of sinners, of the unbelievers, nothing but a prayer of repentance, but that's not true because you have Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and he says that God hears your prayers, and Cornelius is not even saved yet. So he's hearing his prayers, and your alms have come up before God. For all that you've done, God's been watching. God's been listening. God knows everything. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit falls and they all get saved. So we want to be careful, but we don't want to do it in vain repetition. Now, listen to me. That does not exclude, because people will try to exclude, persistence. It doesn't. I pray some of the same things every single day, the same thing over and over, until God tells me, quit it. I already answered. Because, see, God answers all prayer. Yes. No, and wait. All prayer is God's going to answer. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes it's yes, and when he says yes, then you go woohoo and you thank him for it. When he says no, then you don't keep asking because he's already said no, and he's not a man that he's going to relent. He doesn't change his mind. But then sometimes he says wait. When you're praying, you're like, oh, but I really want them to do this now. Wait. And you have to wait on God's timing because he's working, he's moving. He knows the timing on everything, and he's weaving everybody's life together, making this perfect tapestry that from heaven it looks beautiful. From down here it looks like, what in the world are these strings hanging around on the back of this tapestry? It doesn't look like nothing, but when you flip it over and you get a heavenly perspective, it looks like a beautiful house with obeying children in the right position, knowing their gifts and talents and abilities. And so the many words doesn't get you a better place with God. And even King James, I've been in prayer meetings where people prayed in King James. And Lord, if we think of thee, and maybe you would have liked us to come up to before you. And I'm like, what in the world? You can't help but do that. We don't speak like that, dude. Just pray in English. And if you want to learn to pray and you say, what's going on? I mean, prayer meetings are a good place to go. That's where I learned to pray at. You know, I remember my first prayer meeting, sitting down, and all of a sudden guys are speaking in tongues around me. And I'm like freaking out going, what? I mean, because I didn't, nobody warned me, you know, because see, you're going to see again here in a minute, all prayer is praying in tongues also. That's part of it. But it's got a place where it's supposed to be done and a place where it's not supposed to be done. And everything, because God is a God of order. Let's just keep looking. Verse 8, let's just look at 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Isn't that cool? He already knows everything. You don't have to keep repeating it. You don't have to go, daddy, 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 daddy. You don't have to keep going, hey, daddy, 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 daddy. He already knows. It's not going to help you. Just ask him. He hears you. And the problem is we don't hear him. Because faith comes by hearing. He knows. And we're going to go over to Romans here in a minute and look at that too, because he knows already. And then so he says in verse 9, in this manner therefore pray. Now listen, this right here, you know what this is right here? This is a perfect example right here of vain repetition. In the very verse, in the very chapter where he says don't use vain repetition, we have people that take the Lord's Prayer and they say it over and over and over. I was getting ready to pray. Thou Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is an example of a prayer. This is not something to turn into vain repetition and think that God's going to like you because you say this over and over and over and over, because that's nothing but some type of a system. That's nothing but a credit card. This is a pattern of prayer. He's teaching them to pray and what to do. But so many people think that because I know the Lord's Prayer, which really John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, I'll just tell you. That's why we can't just cover prayer in 25 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or 5 weeks. There's prayer everywhere in the Bible because people are being dependent upon God. And there's great testimony. Think about this. You pray and you wait and you watch, right? And I was thinking, oh my goodness, Elijah, he's praying for rain. And he keeps telling his servant, go see. And he's looking for a cloud. He's praying, he's waiting, he's watching. When you see these things, and it's everywhere in the Bible that people prayed and then they listened to God. They waited upon God. They were watching for God to work. And then they prayed more, and then they prayed more. It's amazing stuff. Anyway, here's the example. Our Abba, our Father in heaven. See the personal, but all, there's some position here, there's some perspective here, there's some petition here, there's power here. All of those are here. Prayer has these things. You're praying to God, the Father. Where's he at? He's in heaven. He's hallow. He's holy. That's his name. He's holy. I'm just going to move quick. Here's a perspective. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's going on. His will being done. Already the angels are obeying up there, but down here we're disobeying. And he wants us to line our hearts up with his will, to obey his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's perspective right there. Position. Give us this day our daily bread. Humility. Listen to me. We need him to provide our daily bread. Right? This is a petition here. And forgive us our debts. We need to be forgiven. What's a requirement of it? As we forgive our debtors. That's the place. If you're asking somebody to forgive you, but then you don't want to forgive others. See, this is the changing the mind, the changing the heart. It's the power of prayer. God, I wish you would help me with this, or you would help them with that. Wait a minute, I need help with that too. You know, and you begin to think what I need at the same time, but you're interceding for somebody else. He's just showing, all of these things here in just one little, and I'm going through it quickly. Believe me, I could spend 3 weeks on this. We do need forgiveness of our debts, our sin debts, and we need to forgive others of their sin against us. And then he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why? Because of power. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do not lead us. And of course, you have again the same assertion of humility. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So he is leading. You're never going to end up in a sin or in apostasy or these places if the Spirit of God is leading you. And we're getting ready to talk about that a little bit more, the word temptation there, because it's going to be much more here in a minute. So you're seeking to practice his presence. You're seeking always to be aware that God is there, a lifestyle of prayer, knowing that he wants to help you. I wrote this down. I was talking with Michael on FaceTime. I talk to him every morning, and I get to work, and I'm going into work, and I started getting questions and looking at guys, and we're talking about it, and I forgot Michael was on the phone. So he's just there being quiet and listening to everything. And that's the picture that you need to have, that God's presence is always there. He's listening to everything. He knows everything. And then he can see everything. And we might talk and get all anxious and worried and freaking out and go, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But we need to pray. We need to pray because God is listening. God is watching. And God is giving us a privilege and an opportunity to involve him. But many times he's just there and we don't ask. Or like James says, we ask. And we ask him amiss so that we can spend it on our own selfishness. We're not asking. We have not because we ask not, James says over in James chapter 5. Another one of them, or excuse me, chapter 4, 1 through 5. He talks about asking. But don't ask for your own selfishness. Or don't ask amiss. Ask according to the will of God when you're praying according to the Spirit, which is where we're going to get in a minute. And then he says, praying always. It's a lifestyle where we know we're in his presence. We know he's listening. We know he's there. We know we can always approach boldly the throne of grace. And we want God to be involved in all things, every decision, all day long. So pray without ceasing. And then always with all prayer, right? Always with all prayer. Well, what does that mean? With all prayer? Well, think about it. There's a lot of things. There's silent prayer. You can pray to yourself. There's quick prayer. There's short prayer. There's long prayer. Speak out loud. There's private prayer. There's corporate prayer. There's a prayer in your closet. I mean, all of these things are going on. There's intercession, where you intercede for somebody, like Christ is interceding for us right now. There's thanksgiving, where you're giving thanks because you know he's done something. This is all prayer. There's petition for yourself. And again, intercession for others. There's supplication. We're going to get to it. Did I leave it out? I did. With all prayer. No, and supplication is the next one. It's the next word. All prayer means the whole. It can actually mean with. Is, of course, the channel of the act. All can mean daily. Actually, be translated daily. The word is translated daily. And then it's oratory chapel. It's worship, all prayer. But there's so many types of, you can pray with your eyes open. You can pray with your eyes closed. There's the position of prayer. You can pray on your knees. You can pray wherever you're at. Like when I'm driving down the road and I'm praying, I don't close my eyes, you know. Because it would be dangerous. I would be right there at the throne room, literally, pretty quick. But you can pray. The position is a humble position. You don't have to get on your knees. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting on your knees. There's nothing wrong with laying on your face. But the position of your heart is more important than the position of your physical body. Is my heart on my knees? Am I humbling myself before God in my heart, learning to be dependent upon him? Here's some prayer, all prayer. We're talking about all prayer. There's so many kinds of prayer. How about prayer and fasting? These kind only come out with prayer and fasting. So you have to add something with your prayer in order for those to come out when you're interceding for somebody else. Maybe it's for yourself even. You can do prayer of praise. You can seek help. You know, there's so many things that's going on with prayer. Or here's one. Look over at 1 Corinthians 14. Prayer, once again, there's all kinds of prayer, he says. All kinds of prayer. And 14 just happens to be about tongues. Chapter 14. Well, let's do 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Listen, there's a prayer of tongues, but you need to pray that you an interpreter, or there be an interpreter available, or you're supposed to keep silent, which is what he says over in the rest of the chapter, 14:28, he says that two or three at the most, and then only if there's an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, keep silent and speak to yourself or speak to God at home. But look here, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you blessed with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen or give thanks since he doesn't understand what you're saying? That's more to the tongue part. But listen, you can pray in tongues and it's in the Spirit. You can pray or sing in tongues, but it's in the Spirit. These things exist in the body of Christ, but you have to trust the Spirit. And so now that we've looked at that, what's our next one? Oh, we have to supplicate before we can get to pray in the Spirit, right? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Man, we could be a long time before we get back to praying in the Spirit then. But that's what he was talking about there. But I was just giving you a type. It can't be praying in tongues. Prayer in tongues exists. It still exists. But it's a prayer language between you and God. It's between you and God. And you know what? We might as well just cover this and we'll come back to supplicate. So let's skip supplicate just for a second. And he says, then praying in the Spirit, right? With supplication, praying in the Spirit. So let's look at praying in the Spirit and conclude this thought before we go back. So look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 13, of course, says, if you live in the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And I wanted to get you to 8:26, 8:26, because you need to see this, if I ever find it, as I keep talking. 8:26, look what he says here, and it's actually off the back of perseverance. Look at 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, because we're going to have perseverance in a minute. Something that we're waiting on, something that we're persevering in, we're persisting in. We're going to have that in a minute. And so as we wait, but look at 26. Likewise, so these go together, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And now this is my point about coming to the throne. Jesus is the Spirit. And the Spirit's making intercession for us with groanings. God already knows. So if you want to pray in the Spirit, it's not like you're floating or something weird. You're involving your life of prayer. You're involving your life that's being led by the Spirit already, because as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. So you're already saying, Lord, I don't want to live in the flesh, because if I live according to the flesh, I'm going to die with earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom, with all the things that are in the flesh. That's what the devil is trying to lie to me and get me involved in a flesh life, when I need to be living a spiritual life. And so I want to put to death all the deeds of the body by the Spirit. And then I become a child that's practicing God's presence, that's walking in God's presence, that's practicing prayer, that's getting into the Word, that's spending time with my husbandman, and I can trust that the Holy Spirit being involved in my life, he already is praying for me. Jesus is making intercession at the throne. He knows what God's will is for me. Even the Holy Spirit hands out the gifts, the talents, the ability. He's doing everything in your life, washing and cleansing you. So why would I not include him in my prayer life? Oftentimes, and he does it with groanings that cannot be uttered. So listen, that's kind of like an oxymoron. Groanings is a noise, but you can't utter it because it's silent. It's in the spiritual realm, the place that we really are in, but the devil's drawing us into the physical. Very important that we understand that. Everything the devil's trying to do is to get us to fight the spiritual war in the physical when the battle's already won. He's trying to get us to take off our spiritual armor and get involved in fisticuffs with other people when the battle's already won, and all we need to do is pray and wait. Persevere in prayer with all prayer. And God's already dealing with it, but the main thing he's doing is dealing with you and me and obeying what his word says, being still instead of trying to make it happen. We go, okay, God, you didn't really take care of that quick enough, so I got a plan. I'm going to just write a little note. I'm just going to say a little ditty. I'm just going to do a little bit of, you know, and that's what we think. And we think, I'll get it done because God couldn't. No, it was a wait. It wasn't a yes or a no. It was a wait. You prayed. Now you say, Lord, change my heart so I know what to do properly. You know, it happens in marriage and in relationships so often that we think that you can be the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit knows all hearts. Let the Holy Spirit deal with the other person's heart. You let God deal with your heart. You be faithful. You stay in prayer. You stay before God. It's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's not the people across the street. It's the war for your heart, and it draws you into this physical battle that you're not supposed to be in. You're supposed to be standing in the victory of Christ, resting in what he's done and praying for the issues, and he will take care of them himself in his time, his way. Believe me, God knows what he's doing. We go, man, he didn't even do that, so I'm just going to throw a little bit of this in there. I bet if I throw some salt in that wound, we can get some stuff done. No, you're going to make some more problems. Leave them to God, because if you get out of the way and let God get to them, they are going to get saved or they're going to get burned quick. I'm just telling you, let it be God's time. So trust that in the Spirit already knows everything, knows your heart, knows the heart of God. And we want to pray, not my will, but thy will be done, just like Jesus did. Oh, you might have a desire. Can we just do this, or can we do that, or can this happen with them? And be careful telling God what to do, because you're just wasting wind. You're wasting wind. Lord, I just know if you brought in another godly lady into her life, that then, you know, like maybe one that would come in and say these words and do these things, and then you just start telling God how to do it instead of just saying, Lord, I'm just on my face interceding for them. Whatever your will is for their life, I pray, Lord God, that you would save them. You would sanctify them. You would cleanse them. Lord, what do I need to do? Get out of the way. You know, and it's difficult because we think we can fix everything, and we need to be still. So involve the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, denoting a fixed position of the third person of the Trinity. Okay? Praying in the Spirit. Ask for help that the Spirit would lead your prayers. The Spirit already knows the person you're praying for. You know, sometimes I, you know, when people ask me to pray for them, and I just pray for them, and I don't know why I pray certain things that I pray when I'm praying for them, but I'm thinking I'm led by the Spirit. I say things that I never said to pray for that, but I pray for that anyway, and sometimes it freaks them out. They go, how do you know that? I'm just praying for you. You asked me to pray for you. Praying in the Spirit, trusting God for the words, trusting God what he's doing. I'm not trying to point at myself. I'm trying to point at the work of the Holy Spirit in the person who's surrendering, who's praying in the Spirit, who has a life of prayer, who's practicing his presence. So we better go back, right? Let's go back and look at supplication. Because we have the word twice, and it's the same word both times. And supplication is very important. And you can line it all out to plead humbly. To plead humbly and spend time in prayer. Supplication means this. It means a petition or request. We've already seen that. We're praying. It means a need. It means indigence. Indigency. You know, guys, what that is, where you have no money? Indigency. You have nothing to pay for it with. So you're coming in a humble way. You're coming with a need. And you have nothing. And you know that God has everything. He's the one that has the answers. He's the one. So it is earnest prayer, but it's entreaty. When you just look it up, it's a petition, a request, a need, it's indigence, and it's entreaty. But it also means earnest prayer, a seeking and an asking. But see, that's regular prayer, isn't it? See, so to me it is. And I'm like, why is this word in here? Why is it redundant in here? If I'm already praying and seeking and asking, interceding and needing, but the place is that it's humble and earnest prayer and worship to God. So it's a type of entreaty that you are earnest in it. Well, here it is. The word, I started breaking it down, right? Supplication is from what word? Supplicate, right? Comes from supplicate. Well, supplicate means to petition with earnestness and submission. So now you got humble, earnest submission because you're coming to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And God has everything. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. And you're supplicating for somebody. And it does mean spending some time and tarrying and waiting and worshiping. But earnest means this. Earnestness means zeal in the pursuit of anything. Intenseness of desire and seriousness. So supplicate has to petition with earnestness and submission. And earnestness obviously means intenseness of desire and seriousness, right? And then I go, well, what does supplicate? And I'm just a simple man. So I said, well, supplicate is supple, right? That's the root word of supplicate, supple. I could be wrong. And it means yielding, compliant, flexible, soft, and easily bent. So now we're back to this place where we're coming in need. We're humble. We're earnestly requesting. It's either for our needs or somebody else. And just think about it. If you're interceding for somebody, you can really do nothing unless you hear from God. You can go, okay, they need help paying their rent. Let me go pay it. You just blew it. They really needed to be there. You got to wait till you hear from God. Because if you just step in and pay it, now you've allowed them to be in a place where they can expect always to get their stuff with nothing involved in it. So you need to know what God has said about, do I pay their rent or do I not pay their rent? See, we got this attitude. I don't know if you guys know, but I get calls all the time, and they'll say stuff like, well, that's what the church does. No, excuse me, the church does not pay people's phone bill. The church actually hands out the gospel of Jesus Christ so you do not go to hell. You need to pick up the phone and hear the call of God and know that he's called you to salvation. We're not here for paying phone bills. In fact, when Jesus died, there was no phones. Okay? So, now you got another one? But people really think that's the only reason churches exist. That's what you do. You pay people's bill. You take care of them. You bail them out. You help them. No, God's here to save your soul. And if you keep getting everything for free, you'll probably never get a saved soul. So it means supple, yielding. So here we're back into this plead humbly and to spend time in petition of earnestness and submission, yielding and compliant and flexible and soft and easily bent to God's will. Not my will, but thy will. Right? And then I said, well, where does supple come from? Does it come from sup? Which means to take the evening meal. I just broke it down. I don't care. I'm this real simple guy here. And then these words might not even be related, but in my brain they are. So listen to it. And it's eating a meal with God in prayer. To sup, to eat a meal with God. Is where this is at. You're knowing that you're dependent upon him for your daily bread. You're dependent upon him for the answers in life. So you go back and you're supplicating with God, and it's earnest submission to whatever his will is for their life. And you trust him with it. I don't have to pray and then get up and go do something for people. I can pray for them, and I know that the God who spoke and created the universe is getting ready to act in their life. And I can wait for him to do that. And I don't have to get up and get off the couch and go run and go, did it happen yet? You know, I don't have to look. I can watch them in their daily walk and keep praying for them until God wraps them up and brings them in at his time. And he knows what he's doing. But I continue to be that person to them that says, I'll pray for you. I continue to help them in the best way that I know how without hanging them out to dry to where when it comes time that they really need God, they're already used to somebody else being their God. And see, a lot of times people are used to people being their God or things being their God. And my life's going to be perfect if you just pay my rent again and I'll be fine. I don't need anything else. I don't need salvation. I just need my house paid for so I can get in here and do this. And they see that as their need, and they never see their need of salvation. They just see a physical need. And so, again, supplication. Spend some time in humility, letting the Spirit lead you, and being earnest about it in submission to whatever God wants to do. Because a lot of times, I'm just telling you, and maybe I'm talking about me or some Texas Christians, that we pray already knowing what we're going to do. We already know the next step I'm taking, but I'm going to pray, Lord, what do I do about this? And we actually, and that's maybe more like the hypocrite than anything, is when we already have a heart's intent on what I'm going to do, you know, and then we go, Lord, what should I do? You already got your heart made up. So sometimes the best thing to do is to pray and make sure you don't act right when you get up. Is to say, okay, I'm going to set a time on this. This doesn't have to happen. I don't have to sign the paperwork. I don't have to say nothing to them. I'm praying for them. I can wait. And, you know, it's just a smart thing to do, is not to be thinking that you have to move quickly, wait and really try to hear from the voice of God.
I might be from Texas.
Well, we all might be from Texas. That's why I'm blaming it on them. So you're praying, supplication in the Spirit. The Spirit is involved. Listen, there's a spiritual war. You have to have the Spirit involved, because He can see everything. He knows everything in both realms, and all we can see is the physical realm. We can see the ramifications of the physical realm. We can see some of the damage of the physical realm. But also people can lie and deceive and sneak. And whatever their mindset is, whatever their worldview is, whoever their God is, can really lead you around like a carrot by the nose. And you think they're listening when they're not. But the Holy Spirit knows whether they're listening or not. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on in their heart. The Holy Spirit knows what direction they're going. And so stay out of it. Except for prayer. Stay out of it. Unless God tells you clearly to do something, be very careful, because you get in the way, and we put these pillows underneath people's heads, and we do all of these things that keep them from God instead of drawing them to God. Supplication. Being watchful. King James says, and watching. Being watchful in your prayers. See, watching here is a difficult one here when you start to look at it, because it's not your typical word for watching. Being watchful is not your typical word. What's your typical word? Well, it's my namesake. How do you say it, actually? Greg Uio, Gregorio, Greg Uio, which means to be watchful and to be vigilant. That's your typical word for watching. You know, this word here is agrutneo, agrutneo. Now, it means almost the same thing, and this is very important. This is a very important word right here. That why would Jesus say in Ephesians 4, awake from the dead, or arise from the dead and wake up from your sleep? Now, they're already up out of the grave. Now, they're asleep. And that's what He's tempting us to do. Remember, Jesus said, watch and pray when He went into the garden, lest you enter into temptation. The temptation was to sleep. And they were watching and praying, so they went to sleep. They fell for the temptation to go to sleep, to apostatize, to run after some physical thing, sleep. That was the temptation. Here's the temptation that the devil brings after us, to get involved in the physical. To do things in the physical instead of in the spiritual. To live in the physical and think we can take care of it. That's the temptation. So watchful means to be sleepless. To keep awake. Now remember, what is it? Matthew 25? All 10 of the virgins are asleep. But what happens with some of the virgins that were asleep? They were true believers and woke up and already had oil. They had been lulled into following the physical and sleeping, the temptation. The others were unsaved believers and woke up and didn't have any oil. They weren't saved. They hadn't been doing the other things they should have been doing. And so when they went to sleep, they were just believers. They weren't saved believers. They just believed in God. And they hadn't done any of the things that salvation is, that soteria involves, changing your mind, turning from, getting into the word, prayer, and fellowship, being sanctified and cleansed, learning to obey and run the race according to God and be led by the Spirit. And so you can be, okay, God, I'm waiting for you to come back. I'm waiting for you to do what you're doing. And, oh, man, I got caught up in that. And you wake up. You go, and he wakes you up. And you go, oh, man, I was caught up in the physical part of that, and I really need to stay focused on the spiritual. But if you wake up when he comes and you haven't even been saved, you just believe in Jesus, that's the five virgins. It's going to go, open to us, Lord. And he's going to say, be away from me. I never knew you. Now, can they go into the tribulation and get saved? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I think so. I mean, there's some people that get saved and separate, and they got to go through some really crazy stuff, though, because you got to go through the fire. I don't know. I would just prefer to be saved now. And then do this, watchful. Being watchful means not going to sleep, staying focused on. Now, this word's only used four times in all of the Bible. This egrut neo is used four times in all of the Bible for watchful. It's you can write them down if you want. We're going to go to one of them, but it's in Hebrews 13:17, and it's just talking about being watchful for the leaders over you. Luke 21:36, and then it's in Mark 13:33. And let's go to Mark because we're going to talk about watching. And it's interesting because the other one actually does mean to be vigilant. It means to be awake. It means to be not asleep. What did I say, Mark? 13:32 is where we'll start. This text is also in Matthew. Again, I'm not going to completely cover it exhaustively. I'm looking at the thread of what we're following about watching. Praying and watching, and it actually, when you're looking at watching, you're looking at watching in prayer, right? For all the saints, that's what he says. The perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you're really thinking about the same thing as not being asleep in your life, but not being asleep when you should be praying for all the saints. Because you pray for your family, this is your family. We should always be praying for the family of God. So where is it at? What did I say, 32? Mm-hmm. I don't even know where I'm at here. Oh, it's a really simple little paragraph here. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He's talking about Jesus' return, his second return, second advent. But in verse 33 here, take heed, watch, that's our word there, right there, and pray. That's a group neo. Watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. So you're supposed to be sleepless. Stay awake. Stay in prayer. This is what he's saying right here. You're supposed to stay sleepless. Keep awake. And it also means to be circumspect, be attentive, and to be ready. To be circumspect, be attentive, and be ready, okay? That's part of not going to sleep. And so you know that with sleep, you got physical sleep, right? The body's asleep. You got sleep, which is a euphemism for being dead. When you die, many sleep, he talks about over 1 Corinthians 11. And then you got sleep, which is apostasy, or running back and doing the things you shouldn't be doing and chasing the physical, and you're asleep, because the Spirit has not got you awake doing the will of God. And so he says this, that right there is the word, the same word, where you're supposed to take heed and stay awake. Don't go to sleep. Be circumspect. Be attentive. Be ready, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, we are his house, and gave authority. He gave us all authority. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. That word therefore, you look back to see why. Because he has all authority. So he gives us authority to go. He gave authority to his servants. That's the word doulos. That's those who, just like every one of the apostles, they chose to be a voluntary slave to God, as opposed to being a voluntary slave to the devil. They chose to voluntarily follow him. It's doulos. Douloses or something like that for girls. And what did he do? So he gave authority to his servants, to his doulosses, those that voluntarily want to follow, and to each his work. See, the Holy Spirit gives us work. You got work to do. We're saved. We have a position. But there is work to do. It's the ministry of reconciliation of souls. And then what did he do? And he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Now that's Gregorio. That's to be vigilant. That's to be awake. And then the doorkeeper is porter in the King James, right? Porter in the King James. And then he says again, watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Watch again. It's not our word that we have our forno. This is our word that's Gregorius or Gregoria. I'm not even saying it right, but it means to be vigilant. In the evening, at midnight, the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Listen, the problem is sleeping. The problem is apostasy, but the problem is sleeping. It's the word that would tell us that we're not doing what we should be doing, being vigilant, being awake, doing what the Holy Spirit was leading. And he says, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Once again, it's not the word where we're praying, but it's what we're supposed to be doing, because he said it in verse 33, take heed, watch, a forno, which means don't let him put you to sleep. Don't let the enemy trick you into going to sleep. Don't fall for the lie of following the physical, right? Because he's already given us authority. We've become voluntary followers. We each have our work to do. We have gifts, talents, and abilities. And then he gave us a command as the doorkeeper to do what? Not to get caught up in the physical, but to guard the door. Just like Lot was guarding the door in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did they want to do? They wanted to know them. See, they wanted to know God physically, but not spiritually. They wanted to know all these men that came there. That was God. That was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to prove it to you right now, but Lot bows down and worships them. And if they were angels, they'd have said, get up, Lot. You don't worship us. We're angels. And then those men wanted to know them carnally, to lay with them, to know them in a sexual way, a physical way, but they did not want to know God in a spiritual way where they would bow down and follow him and be led by him. They wanted God to follow them. They wanted to turn God into their own image, which is what we're seeing on our culture today. And they're telling Lot, get out of here. You keep trying to judge us. And they're telling the church, get out of here. But we're the doorkeepers. We're the ones that know who the door is, Jesus. And we're presenting the ministry of reconciliation to others. And we don't want to be asleep with that. We want to be fully awake, being vigilant, being awake to what God has called us to do. Not sleeping, but be circumspect, be ready. That's what that word means. Agrupneo. I said it wrong about three times, didn't I? Agrupneo. I don't know Greek anyway, so I'm just telling you what I've seen. It means to be circumspect, to be attentive, and be ready. Not to be asleep, apostate, and following the world and chasing the physical or fighting in the physical. See, you don't even have to chase the physical. Just get over and get involved in it, in that scuff. You know, when the battle's already won, when you could be fighting in prayer, your offensive weapon, and you're over there just going, well, I told you, you never have anything to pick your knee, and I'm going to do it again. And you're over there fighting something that you can't win in the physical. Oh, you might be able to take them down and put them in a pen and beat them up and send them to jail, but you didn't win. You lost because we're worried about their souls. So you didn't gain a soul. You lost somebody that now will not listen to you preach the gospel if you're out there in fisticuffs with them. But that's the whole trick, is to get us involved in the physical instead of standing in the spiritual. Instead of standing in the spiritual. And I think that's really what happened with the boys, Peter, James, and John, when Jesus was in the garden, and three times he come. He said, it's enough, our betrayer is right here now. And they can't, you couldn't pray and watch for 1 hour? And he's using the word that's for vigilant and awake, not the word in our text, But he says, pray and watch lest you enter into temptation. Be tempted to be asleep. Because it's so tempting when you see what's going on to be involved in it, because we're carnal. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty in God. And that's the spirit. That's prayer. Prayer is something that we don't, I don't think we understand it. See, you can even pray. I can pray a person. I can petition them. I can intercede for them, not to God, but just to another person. I can come and intercede and say, hey, Michael's lawnmower is broken. I just wanted to know if he could borrow your lawnmower. I'm praying. I'm interceding for him. I'm trying to get something done for him. You can do that with a person and be in the physical, but we're talking about the God of the universe that knows everything that's going on and how to deal with it. Oh, man, we can't even finish this. Because it's so deep, this whole thing. So you're praying, you're being watchful with all prayer. To this end, which is our purpose. See that? Watchful. To this end, which is the purpose. It's who it's towards. It's who it's concerning. Who's it concerning? The saints. Listen, to this end. And you're having perseverance, which is persistency. This is the only place in the whole Bible that this word is used. This word perseverance is only here. It's from a word that means constantly, diligent, continually, adhere to closely. You're persevering. Persevering. So you're waiting with all perseverance. Uh-oh, how much is all? And then back to supplication, which is humbly. Humbly yielding, humbly and earnestly in submission, being compliant and flexible, in all seriousness and flexibility and easily bent to God, supplicating for the saints. Supplicating for the saints. All the saints. And who's the saints? That's Hagios again. Remember, it's someone set apart for God to be as if were exclusively His. That's what a saint is. When there's saints and there's ain'ts. If you come to salvation, you get an S on the front of your name, you as an ain't, and you get an S and you become a saint. And you're set apart for God's good pleasure. Saint is the word. It means sacred. It means physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously and ceremonially consecrated, set apart for God. And that's where we're praying for the saints. You know, the Bible says, where is that? Galatians. That's terrible. You forget that. Isn't it Galatians? It might be in Hebrews. Too good to all. Oh, do not forget to share and to do good for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. No, that's Hebrews. Galatians, the last chapter, what is that? Where he, especially the household of faith. Let's find it. I guess I got to find it. So are you praying? It's 5, I thought it was 17, it's 5:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So it's our family. We're praying for all the saints, our family. Now here's the other thing. I want to lay out one more, and we'll close this because I know you guys want to go home. It's in Acts. You don't have to go there because I'm just going to give it. It's Acts chapter 12. You guys remember when James gets arrested and they kill him. The second martyr of the church. We see Stephen in chapter 7. And then James is arrested and they bring him out of jail and they kill him. So then they arrest Peter, right? They arrest Peter. And you know they were all praying for James. They were all praying for James. And then what happens? They arrest Peter and they're all praying for Peter. And Peter's there in the cell and he's just resting calmly. He's shackled, you know. And an angel comes and touches him and says, get up and get dressed. And his shackles fall off and leads him out. And he thinks it's just a dream. And then all of a sudden he realizes he's outside the city. And he's totally released, right? And so he goes to the house where he knows they're praying at. Many people think it's John Mark's mom's house, and where the upper room was. And he's knocking, and this girl named Rona opens the little peek hole and says, and she hears his voice, and she recognizes it. I'm paraphrasing. And she runs to tell him, Peter's at the door, Peter's at the door. And I go, no, it's not. It's probably his ghost or something. Go away. We're praying in here. And she goes and opens the door and lets him in. And he comes in and he takes his hands and he hushes them because he needs to leave. But God released him. But what am I talking about? When we pray, we need to believe that we have the petitions of our heart. And how hard is it when one was just killed and then you have the exact same situation and the other one gets arrested and you go, well, I'm praying. I'm really praying that they don't die. But you know what? I just seen somebody die the same way. And so you don't believe God. See, and that's getting back into the physical again. We don't know whether God wants one to live and the other to die or not. So we should put the same amount of faith, the same amount of perseverance, the same amount of supplication, the same amount of the Spirit in each of them and wait for God's will to be done. Just because God acted this way once does not mean that he's going to kill Peter also. And he releases Peter. Peter has 12 chapters or something in Acts where he's doing ministry. You know, and that's amazing to me because James, one of the sons of thunder, you know, why didn't God let him? They were praying and possibly believing even more that God was going to release him than for Peter because they hadn't seen the first one die yet. So now they're in there going through the motions. So do you go through the motions in your prayer life? Oh, I pray all the time. I'm just going through the motions. Or do you believe that God's going to act, that God's going to infuse you with power, and God's going to send you out to speak to people, and that God's going to do the things you're asking, or he's going to line your heart up to quit asking amiss and start asking according to his will? And I would add that when you pray, say, not my will, but thy will be done, because Jesus did. Jesus did. So anyway, I just thought that's one of the big things of prayer is they didn't even believe that God released him, even though they were praying, Lord, release him! But they're in the back of their mind, they're thinking, we prayed this for James, and James, we had his funeral last week. And they couldn't get to a place where they thought that God was going to release him, and God released him. So don't think you already know the answer when you're praying. Make sure you're trusting for God's will to be done. And you're just being faithful to pray. Faithful to intercede for all the saints. And there's many ways to intercede. Prayer and fasting. That's what I want you to do for me. Pray and fast. Okay? Not pray real fast. That's not what I said. But prayer and fasting. That's what I tell people now when they say, we're praying for you. I say, won't you try fasting? Because it ain't working. Okay. Verse 19 for next week. Next week's verse is, because Paul wasn't just telling them to pray. He even put in a prayer request in 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, he wants to open his mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And I think all the saints should want to do that because we've been saved, and that's what God requires. He wants all men to come to salvation, to repentance. He wants all men to be saved. He didn't die just for one. He died for all of us. And so many have rejected it. So I pray also, verse 19, that you would pray that for me. I'm not an ambassador in chains, but I would like to speak boldly as I ought to speak. And you know, God gives me that opportunity often. And even the people who have persecuted me in the past, he gives me opportunity to share the gospel with them even again. Because when you share with somebody and they're abusive or they get mad or they are something, you don't have to stop praying for them. Just because they don't want to hear it out loud, now you've got your private prayer. And you pray for them anyway and wait for God to open a door to keep sharing with them. Because if you just get mad, then that's all physical and the devil's got you. He's tricked you into getting back into the physical and to fight in this physical battle. I don't care about them. I don't care if they die. I don't care nothing about them. I'm not praying for them. What Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, and it sets us free. And then we are right there where God wants to be. We're forgiving our enemies. Our debts are forgiven, and souls are being saved, and we're the soul that's getting saved and set free so that we're not wrapped up in bitterness and defiling many. Father, thank you for your mercy. Teach us to pray, Lord, that we would be led by the Spirit. We know, Lord, that we need to learn to pray in humility and earnestly and to believe you, not be in unbelief. Lord, we believe that you want to save people. We believe that you want to set them free. But Lord, we also know that we get caught up in the flesh. So we pray, Lord, that you would crucify the flesh in our life and give us a desire for the soul of mankind. Not the argument, not the reviling for reviling, not the fighting and the griping and the grumbling, but for souls to come to salvation and to know you and to repent, to change their mind and to be saved and sanctified and ready for glory as they watch. Wake us from our sleep, Lord, lest we perish. Wake us up, Lord, and teach us to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.